إلا الله لا إله إلا الله. I can't explain the world we in. I look around and see all things beautiful. No mistakes, He won't let us down. He's the one that can create all from nothing to something. So let us pray and let us thank Him for each day. La ilaha.
Live by Islam.
La ilaha illallah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulil kareem. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع سنته إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome again to another episode of your weekly Islamic discussion show, Live by Islam. I'm your host Ismail Bullock, and today inshallah we want to talk about something a bit different. We've had some very, very beneficial belief, aqidah based episodes going through Surah Al-Fatiha, etc. Last week we had an interesting episode about the lessons we can learn for Surah Al-Kahf. But today I want to talk about something. I mean, want to talk about the prophetic way of teaching. And to do this with me is Brother Gabriel Romani. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. JazakAllah khair for coming on.
Yeah,
now obviously, as we were discussing ideas for this show, something that came in your mind, which actually was a big reason, apart from the fact you're in education yourself, but something that really made you and pushed you to want to do this, and this is something that many of our viewers, wherever they may be around the world, in the West, in the East, have seen this, and it's something which is very bad and is not from Islam. But you just been to a mosque Asr time, and you were telling me how you saw a boy who was reading the Quran, must have made a mistake, that the elderly gentleman, we won't necessarily discuss where he was from, but from the South Asian subcontinent, we can say at least, or the Indian subcontinent possibly, slapped the boy across the face extremely hard.
Right.
So that obviously upset you, and so it should. And I remember, and as I was saying to you, that we see so many people, or we hear these stories of people who say that I left Islam and I became such and such. And you find a lot of their stories are behind. It's not because in reality they found out Islam, which we know wouldn't be the case, is not the truth, or I found clear, no doubt about it, mistakes in the Quran. No, they usually have some kind of, like atheists a lot of the time, some kind of psychological, mental episode in their life that has caused them to take this stance. Mm. And many of them is, I used to go to the mosque, I was beaten, slapped when I was learning the Quran. So this is not an excuse at the end of the day, because you have a mind to say, well, this can't be from Islam, or maybe I should say, is this really from Islam, when you grow older? But it's definitely a reason that starts to push people away, and then obviously they've chosen that, you know, to be weak and follow that psychological issue or go down that road, is because they got pushed away from the Quran, from the mosque, from Islam, by these so-called mullahs or these so-called imams who were slapping them and beating them to learn the Quran.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you can discuss exactly what you saw and how you felt. And we'll obviously, during this time, we'll try and discuss what is the right way of education, the right way of teaching, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam rasulillah. First and foremost, I think coming to the show, and I was trying to think what to speak about, and when I saw that, I was like, man, we need to speak about this, because it happens so often. And first of all, the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from hitting the face. I mean, this is very clear that you should not hit the face, no matter, you know.
Even if it's an animal.
Even if it's an animal, exactly. And the more so when you are teaching the Quran, you are teaching a child who is not yet formed his character, his psychology to be, you know, if you slap me on the face or something like that, I might understand that you're just, you know, this is not correct and I got upset or whatever, you know. It's different. I know this is wrong. But for a young boy who's going there to learn the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he you'll associate that beating with the Quran, and this is something that is done involuntarily. We have to understand that. And as you said, some of the people later on in their lives, they turn out to be atheists, to leave Islam, and to say, it's good if they say that, oh, it's because I was beaten, at least they know the reason why they left Islam. A lot of the times, this hitting, this negative emotion is associated with Islam, and they leave Islam, but they don't know why. They just have this internal hatred for the faith. Because of that, because that event in their life is not been resolved.
And I'd like to point out, obviously, to some of the viewers that you actually have a bachelor's in education as well as a bachelor's in psychology.
Yes, yes.
So you can obviously, so some of the viewers, they can, you know, you will know what you're talking about in the sense of from the educational aspect as well as the fact that you're, you
as
know,
as much as I can, yes,
you know,
inshallah,
from psychology as well.
Yeah, so the human stages of development, you know, you go through certain stages, there are certain ages, and that boy was probably around 7 or 8, and this is still it's a prime stage of formation of absorbing and looking for a model in your life to start building your character on. So when that episode of violence takes place and you haven't solved it, you haven't talked about it, no one has stood up for you, no one has explained to you that no, this is wrong, and you know, and what this person has done is wrong. You haven't resolved that episode. So you go through life, you grow up, and that causes you later on to take certain decisions in your life, or, you know, to feel, to associate certain feelings. When you go to the masjid, for example, you're going to feel anxiety. You might not know why. When you see the Quran, you don't want to read it. You might not know why. When you see a Islamic teacher or someone with a beard, right, you'll say, oh, you know, I don't want to, I hate these people. You don't know why. Right, because you haven't solved that episode. For those who say, yeah, they used to beat me, there's still some hope. You can sit down with them and teach them and show them that, look, as we're trying to do right now, this is not from Islam. What that guy did is totally wrong, and he might be able to accept it. But for the one who doesn't know why he hates it, this is the dangerous one. And especially when, as I said, when it happens at this very fragile age, it's very, very difficult to, you know, to solve and to get rid of. And there's a lot of people. I've met people who've told me, you know, worse than being stabbed. People are like, literally, I mean, stuff like beaten, and for making a mistake in the Quran. You know, in the Quran, you're trying to learn. Yes, you're not, maybe you're making a mistake, but the Prophet never beat anyone for the Quran. No doubt in Islam, a parent is allowed to chastise his child and to, you know, within the limits of the Sharia, with love, you know, not out of anger and out of uncontrollable, you know, anger. This is, then you're accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. It is some way of education. It is a person who fears Allah who, you know, wants to educate his child as a father or a mother, who keeps in mind the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not some crazy who loses his temper and breaks bones and, you know, stuff or leaves bruises. That's not how it is. But never did the Prophet ﷺ condone or allow anyone to beat someone for the Quran.
And what's kind of almost laughable is the fact that if this boy is making mistakes but he's trying, this is something where he should be commended, because we know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ talks about the one who is mahar in Quran, that he gets rewarded, the one who is skillful.
Yes.
And then he talks about the one yatata'ta, he stutters.
Yes.
Makes mistakes because he can't, some things, if you're not an Arab, for example, or
easy.
Even for Arabs, you're going to slip up, you're going to stutter, you're going
to,
can't quite get it out properly, you're going to say it wrong, but you get more reward
That's
than
right.
the one who is skillful.
No.
Because, you know, Allah's recognizing your effort, you know, you're something, you don't find it easy, you're not skillful, but you're still trying, you get more reward.
Yeah.
So how can you equate that kind of hadith there to then slapping the person in the face or beating them with a stick?
Two points here that are very important for us to understand is, number one is the quality of the teachers. Now, we, of course, we respect our Islamic teachers, but not everyone is, I mean, we have to say the truth, you know, not everyone is qualified to be a teacher. This kind of behavior shows that, i.e., number one, that person doesn't know the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and he didn't study the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and how he behaved with people. Number two, that he knows it, but he ignores it and doesn't follow it, which is even more, you know, grave, you know. So we need to raise awareness, we need to invest in educational programs, we need to invest in researches and going back to the prophetic way of teaching, And that has to be by itself. I've been advocating for this for a long time. In and of itself, a standalone curriculum. You know, we should stop the Islamization of American curriculum, British curriculum. We have the real curriculum. The Prophet ﷺ taught people his whole life. The Prophet ﷺ had, you know, left the Sahaba on a certain methodology of teaching people. And none of it involved, you know, literally beating, slapping people on the face. Now we'll find some incidents where some of the scholars were strong on their followers, but not children. These were grown men, and they used to put some difficulties in their ways to see which one wants to really be, to go through this and to tread a path of knowledge, right? But not little children to be beaten and hit and so on. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that at this age, these children want to play. Yes, you're teaching them, but as much as they can take. More important, what you have to teach them, what you have to associate is these positive emotions with the Qur'an. And we know, just a beautiful example of the Prophet ﷺ teaching Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, teaching him a very important principle in Islamic theology, in Aqidah, you know? And that is the concept of Qadr, you know? And we can tell by the hadith that Abdullah ibn Abbas was very young, right? Because it says, Ya Ghulam. So Ghulam is a boy within a certain age range, he's very young, he's not reached yet, you know, that puberty and so on. Inni u'allimuka kalimat, and I will teach you some words. And then he starts saying, Ihfadullah, Ihfadak, you know, take care of Allah, Allah will take care of you. And إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, you know? This is very important. And if you ask, ask from Allah. And know that if the whole world was to gather against you, you know, they cannot benefit you except what Allah has written for you. And if all the world wants to harm you, they cannot accept what Allah allows for you. You know, and he's on a ride, on the back of a donkey or something. He's probably holding on to the Prophet ﷺ. They're going somewhere, you know. He's not sitting on a chair and be like, oh, you know, learn, you know. And it's a very, this is not something simple. This is not, you know, Fatha Dhamma Kasra, you know. This is theology. This is like the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is to remove fear from you and put your trust and fear only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know? That if the whole world gathers against you, they cannot do anything against you, you know. And this is how I used to teach, you know. And imagine the feeling that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has with the Prophet ﷺ as a boy, holding on to him, on his back. It's different, you know. There's a bond there. There's a bond of care and love. You know, the Prophet ﷺ used to, you know, wipe his hand over the head of the children. He used to stop and say salam. He used to sprinkle them sometimes with water. I mean, so many incidents are there in the seerah, in the authentic reported seerah and the books that are available, you know. But I'm not sure why us, the Muslims of the 21st century, think that we can look somewhere else for a better model or that we know it better or so on and so forth. So compare that, what the Prophet ﷺ did, to what people do today, you know. Anyway, there's very, very little inspiration in some of the teachers, very, very little care and love for your students. Is very little, and that impacts the future generation, because now as the children are going to grow up, they're going to feel alienated from the mosque, they're going to stay away from the masjid, they're going to stay away from the imams, they're going to stay away from Islam. And of course the different methodologies and ideologies and philosophies are waiting with open arms, you know, and being very kind and very nice. So it's a fitna that your people, what you know, treated you harshly, and mashallah, these people are so away from, forget about, they don't believe in God maybe, you know, they're so kind to you and so loving, and they're sacrificing for you. So of course this is a huge fitna for a human being, that he will be attracted to that, you know. But the main thing here that people need to understand, that the children are going to have a difficult time to understand, but that we adults can understand, is that this is not the fault of Islam. So when the adult, when they reach adulthood, they leave Islam, blaming that person or whoever it be, this is wrong. But I'm not saying he's justified, but he has a reason. He's left, he's feeling like that, as you said at the beginning. There's this psychological incident that happened that pushed him towards that. And it's very difficult for him to get out of that. It's not an excuse, it's not justifiable from an Islamic perspective, but for sure that person is also to be blamed who has done that. You know, and then for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question that person. There's no doubt about that. Why did you do this and this and this? And we know the Prophet was speaking to some of the Sahabas, you know, saying that do you want to turn the people from Allah? And do you want to be the reason that people are gonna, you know, turn away from Allah?
And there's a we know this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the exact hadith slips my mind in its totality, but he said, يُصِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, you know, like, make things easy.
And don't make them hard, yes.
And then the continuation of the hadith, I forget,
لَا تُنَفِّرُوا,
you know, give glad tidings and do not send push people away. لَا تُنَفِّرُوا, which means to push people away, to send them away. So again, and this is, what they're doing is completely the opposite. I mean, I'm sure many of our viewers, wherever they're from, they could be from certain countries, they could be from the Indian subcontinent, they could be from the UK. I mean, maybe some of them have experienced these kind of people doing these kind of things, and it has pushed them away from Islam, and they may be, unfortunately, to some extent, because of the negative effect, like you said, children associate. So if this child is getting beaten by this man only when he reads Quran at such a young age, he doesn't understand this is the wahy, this is the revelation from Allah with no doubt, I know the proofs, I've seen it, I've compared it. He doesn't know this, he's a small child.
Sure.
He will automatically think, even if he doesn't really want to, Quran means slaps in the face, means pain, means feeling bad, feeling disgraced, feeling humiliated, feeling upset. So that will have a complete opposite of that.
Exactly.
And maybe, like you said, he grew up kind of doubting Islam. And like I said, that's not an excuse, but it's to some extent human nature that they will then start to say, like, what kind of people are these, you know? Okay, like you said, then other people come to them and take advantage of them. And everything is love.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is what we're supposed to be as Muslims, you know? We're not supposed to be harsh and horrible.
That's right.
In general.
You know, amazing. That the same person who slapped him, be it his father or the teacher or whatever, is not going to slap that boy for maybe looking at something haram on the phone or something like that, or going on the street and, you know, doing something that is not correct, you know. He'll slap him for Quran, you know. You're fine. I mean, he's not going to tell him, son, what you're doing is wrong, you know, don't do this, don't look at that, you know. Most likely, he'll, you know, just slap him for the Quran. So imagine what kind of confusion it is, like, well, I can be on the phone, I can watch this, I can watch some weird movies, or, you know, look at Instagram and look some, you know, weird stuff. And they, you know, you see these days everyone's on the phone, you know. The parents give the kids their phone, you know, to just keep quiet. But he was slapping for the Quran. So the confusion in the mind of the people that, you know, they cannot approach the Quran. The Quran is something, you know, so far away. The Quran is something, as you said, you know, that's, I don't feel comfortable with. I just want, you know, the phone, the movies, the music, this is okay, you know, no one slapped me for this, no one ever, you know, told me that this is wrong. But for the Quran, oh no, if I made a mistake or I did this or I did that, I got slapped, you know. So human beings, you know, growing up with that, there's a big confusion. And we find it today in the 21st century that more and more people are moving away from the faith because of the example of the so-called religious people, and specifically the teachers. And I've seen this phenomenon in many different countries, even in the Christian faith. You know, when I went to Romania, my cousin, people, they're just disenchanted with going to church or anything like that, because they feel that these leaders of the church and so on, they're like not exemplifying, you know, what the faith stands for. You know, so it's one of the easiest thing for them to do is to just stay away from it, to just not be committed to it. Same with the Muslims. And this is the danger, because the shaitan is always there, you know. I mean, if you think about rationally, okay, you don't like that person, so stay away from him. Whoever slapped you, okay, stay away from them. Go to another mosque maybe, you know. But the shaitan takes you slowly, slowly, slowly. He'll rationalize to you and say, no, this is Islam. This person, he knows what he's doing because he's a teacher. So look, he should know. So you should move away from this. Leave this, you know. Go to, you know, this guy. Look at how nice he is. He's your real friend. He's your real advisor. He's, you know, he's real kind to you. So slowly, slowly, they move away, you know. And now it's happening in masses. More and more people are becoming atheists. You know, before we used to have the issue of, you know, people being lured in by missionaries, you know. Now people are just totally going for, you know, atheism. Buddhism, you know, they want some spirituality, so they start practicing yoga and whatnot, and, you know, being Buddhist, and they think, you know, it's human beings are, it's just, we're just wired for spirituality, we need it. You know, Allah SWT created us, you need that aspect of religion. Of course, what you put in it can be the right thing or the wrong thing. But more and more people, as studies are showing, are turning to atheism, agnosticism, and, you know, they add to it the spirituality part of Buddhism, because there's no so-called organized religion, you can do whatever you want, and so on. So if we don't tackle this issue from the root, which is those early stage, that early age, then later on we're going to be faced with this problem. And as I said back again, Muslims need to invest in this. They need to start thinking of how to bring an Islamic curriculum forth based on the life of the Prophet, the tarbiyah of the Prophet. There are many books written in Arabic on this. There's many, many examples in the hadith and the life of the Prophet of how he dealt with children. I think we should discuss some of the stages and how he took, you know, children and how he dealt with them in different aspects, and how the different age groups, how he was different, you know, to them, and to the children he was different, to the elders he was different, and how he was able to transit these people, to move and to become, you know, to this tarbiyah process, to become the sahaba that were so successful in their age, in their community, is because they understood and they learned, they internalized those teachings, and of course the result of doing it correctly is that you see, you know, what the Sahabas did. I mean, that generation in that short period of time, the success that the Muslim Ummah had in that time was just unparalleled till today. You know what I mean? So this is something that we need to impart with our audience, inshallah.
Well, before we go on to the various, you know, some of the examples or stages that the Prophet ﷺ did that, before we do that, we'll just go for a quick break. Sure. So viewers, inshallah, join us after this short break.
You cannot go on. You feel so lost and that you're so alone. All you see is night and darkness all around. You feel so helpless, you can't see which way to go. Don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side. Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way. Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way. Every time you commit one more mistake, you feel you can't repent and that it's way too late. You're so confused, wrong decisions you have made haunt your mind and your heart is full of shame. But don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side. Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah.
Turn to Allah, He's never far away. Put your trust in Him, raise your hands and pray. Ooh yeah, Allah, guide my steps, don't let me go astray. You're the only one who can show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. Inshallah.
To something, so let us pray and let us thank Him for each day. La ilaha.
Live by Islam.
La ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now, before the break, obviously, we discussed lots of things about, you know, the wrong way of teaching Quran, teaching in general. We gave some examples how the Prophet ﷺ said to give glad tidings and not to push people away and to be easy with people and don't be hard on people, etc. So before the break, you mentioned that we want to discuss some of the stages or examples of how the Prophet ﷺ educated people and children and people in general.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah, you know, the Prophet ﷺ is the best example that we have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and we believe that, and not just that, it's proven in his life. And when you study his life and then you compare yourself to the Prophet ﷺ, and you find the Prophet ﷺ was, from all different angles, he was perfection, you know. Because as an individual, I might be very good at certain aspects of my character, but not so good at others. You know, the Prophet, whenever you look, he was a balanced character in every single aspect. And, you know, we can't say the Prophet was only merciful. He was merciful, of course. But at the same time, when the boundaries of Allah were crossed, he was also very tough, right? You can't say the Prophet was only lenient and kind to people, because at the same time, when certain things would go through, he was ready to step up and deal with it, you know? Sometimes, you know, you find today the human characteristic, the human psychology of a person is that, mashallah, I'm very very kind, but when it comes to, you know, to do something, anyone can, you know, push me on the side because I'm not, you know, strong enough to stand up for myself. You know, you find this is, or I'm very strong, I'm very harsh with people. When it comes to in dealing with my family or my children, I don't have mercy or any kindness, you know, and they're just suffering, you know. You find that. You'll never find a balanced 100% person in this world. I mean, if you were to compare them to the Prophet, they're always lacking in something. One person can be very good here, good to his family, but he can never come close to the way the Prophet worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to wake up every night for Qiyam or anything there, you know? He can be the best Muslim ever, you know? So the Prophet was just this example that we should try at least to get as close as possible to his character as we can. And one of his very important, you know, aspects of his characters is how he dealt with people and how he taught people specifically. Why? Because he knew as a human being that he's going to depart from this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you will die. And they will die and you will die. So he was preparing the ummah. And I want the audience to understand, for those who are Muslim, who are watching, is that you are Muslim today because, after the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Islam, of course, it started from the beginning of creation, but the way we have it today, the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it started with one person, one human being, you know, and now we are almost 2 billion, you know. One human being, one person started this by the blessings of Allah, from revelation from Allah, who believed and followed the way of Allah. And we are Muslims today because he cared about us. He wanted Islam to spread. He cared for his people. He struggled, he sacrificed his life to give us this deen, to teach us. Because what is Islam in the end of the day? It is theory, it is manners, it is knowledge, and then put in practice. And this is what education is. He came, you have a curriculum. The Prophet had a curriculum, a divine curriculum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had to take that and make sure he understand how to prioritize, what to say, what not to say, who to talk, how to talk, and so on, that he may, inshallah, by the blessing of Allah, win the people. Of course, Allah is the one controlling hearts, but he has to do his best to deliver this message. So when we look at education, the Prophet, first and foremost, he was someone who had an integral character. It's something very, very important. If you don't have integrity in your life as a teacher, then people will not listen to you. This is as simple. He was Al-Amin. We know very well that he was the one, the trustworthy one, that everyone, no matter what, they didn't agree with him on what he was teaching, but still they knew that his character is flawless. So today, if a person tries to teach someone, if his character is not intact and proper, people will not listen to them. People will not open up to them. So the Prophet ﷺ was that. The second aspect of the Prophet ﷺ's character that, you know, blessed him to be able to impart knowledge to people in such a way, especially to children, was his kindness, you know, his way of dealing. And a lot of the hadith that are coming from the children of the, you know, they were around the Prophet ﷺ, always talk about his kindness and how, you know, they always remember things. They remember how he smelled, they remember how the softness of his palms, they remember that he was, you know, and this is what we call in education proximity. He was always very close to them. And when you have that special bond, when I will tell you something, you remember that. And subhanAllah, look at this. Even a person, educationalists say that when you study, okay, try to put some kind of a scented candle or something, a smell, because you associate that with studying, and then when you want to revise, remember, put the same smell back, you know? And it's amazing, if you think about it, sometimes you go somewhere and you smell something, it reminds you of a certain incident that you've had in your life, you know, either a certain food or a certain perfume or something. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ had this amazing smell, you know? He used to make it wear atr, you know, an oud. And the children report that we used to smell the Prophet. Compare that sadly to some people, and imagine, you know, when you teach someone, you're so close, and if you don't have, you know, tahara and bodily hygiene, this is something simple. You can know a lot, but if you don't smell well, the person who's next to you, he's not going to be able, he's clenching his teeth.
And you reminded me of Ammar ibn Yasir, who said that he was, you know, he worked as like a servant for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said for 10 years, and he said never once did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say uff,
yes,
or complain or say, you know, lima fa'altu kada, or yeah, you know, why did you do such and such. He said he never spoke to me like this, he never reprimanded me, you know, as why did you do this, you know. Maybe he corrected him in a nicer way, but he never actually said to him clearly, what are you doing, why have you done this, or what have you done, or anything like that, which people do, you know, all the time now, and so much more than that.
Every day. I mean, compare that again to ourselves. How many times do we tell our children, why did you do this? you're useless, you know. A lot of us, some of the best people do that, you know. Again, compare that to the Prophet. Why was the Prophet وَإِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah uses the word عَظِيمٍ. يعني. Allah uses عَظِيمٍ for Quran, you know, but then Allah uses عَظِيمٍ for the خُلُق of the Prophet. What an honor. And this is in these kind of events, what you said, you realize it, because you look at yourself like, man, I just spoke very harsh to my children. And the Prophet for 10 years didn't speak harsh to a servant.
And I mean, something also pops to mind, which is something generally the Prophet would do, is that even when he wanted, you know, address a person's mistake, nowadays, especially even in a classroom, we may see a particular student doing something, we may automatically say, Ahmed, what are you doing? Why did you do such and such? And then he might be, and then everyone looks at him and maybe they laugh at him. Prophet ﷺ, and we're not talking about children, we're talking about generally, it could be children, it could be adults. He would generally, to not embarrass the person, he would notice someone doing something and he would say, indeed, those people who do such and such are such and such.
Right.
Or indeed, the people who do such and such things will receive such and such.
Right.
So those people, that person or those people would, who are in that big crowd would get the message, but there will be no public humiliation.
That's right.
There will be no pointing out with fingers. And that's something that we can definitely learn from, because we tend to do it ourselves, whether we are managers, teachers, family. Sometimes we may point, and we may all be guilty of this, may point out one of our son's mistakes in front of the others when there's no need to do that.
That's
we can generally call them together and say, son's doing such and such, kids, such and such is wrong, or our students, or our staff who work with us or under us. We can make a general statement and they will know for sure that probably we know, and even if we don't, you know, that we know what they've done, and the message is given across to them and to everybody without any humiliation.
Exactly. And this is when the Prophet wanted to make a lesson out of this issue. Or in other cases, he would take the person on the side and advise him in private. So this is beautiful. As opposed to, as you said, the whole purpose is that you should not humiliate anyone. Humiliation is something that is going to totally block anything from coming in.
I mean, of course, sometimes, you know, there may be exceptions, which I think even the scholars allow, that if somebody was such a constant sinner doing a particular sin over and over and over and over, that there's, you know, to stop his evil or to, you know, they would, and that, especially if it could affect other people in the community, is to expose him in that sense. But obviously, those are certain conditions, but the general rule be that Prophet ﷺ would not publicly humiliate them or take them aside. So this is something we can learn on an everyday basis.
It's amazing, yeah. So again, you know, when I look at myself, I look at what we do and compare it to the Prophet ﷺ, there's just no comparison. Going back to what I was saying about, you know, the tahara, you know, it's so important. And today it's really, it kills your heart when you see that some of the people are not paying attention to them and they're teaching. And the students are going to see, they're going to learn that, they're going to, you know, be turned off by that. And it's a negative association. It's, you know, you just don't like what you see, you don't like what you smell, and you're not going to be able to focus on learning. You know, you're just not going to be able to do that. Same thing what we gave the example to be slapped, you know, right? You're not going to be able to absorb anything from that person. So the Prophet was very, you know, these are just very superficial things if you think about it. And this is given, you know. We're not even starting to get into methodologies of teaching or pedagogy or anything like that. We're talking about basics, being kind, smiling. The Prophet was smiling a lot, you know what I mean? And just recently we were talking a lot about, in the previous khutbahs, they were talking about smiling, you know. It's just something, you know, when you tell something, you know.
Well, of course, we know the famous hadith, the Prophet says that smiling is an act of sadaqah, it's an act of charity to smile in the face of your brother.
Right, but you know, if I tell you something, if I'm trying to teach you like 1 + 1 = 2, you know, I'm excited. You're going to remember 1 + 1 = 2, wow. Or like 1 + 1 = 2, you know. There's a difference, you know. I'm trying to teach you something, I'm enjoying it. 1 + 1 = 2, you know, or 1 + 1 = 2.
And something else comes to mind is that sometimes not everybody will pick something up. And then we know that Prophet ﷺ would repeat himself 3 times when he was teaching things. And I believe it was one time when we were discussing this, but that there's even been studies now from so-called life, what they like to call life gurus or life coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of people or educational therapists or specialists who say that to get the point across and for it to be absorbed properly, then you should repeat the important things 3 times.
Three times, yes.
And we know the Prophet ﷺ used to do this.
Yeah.
you know.
And you'll find today, as you said, these specialists, public speakers, I'll listen to a lecture and the guy will say the thing three times in the lecture, subhanAllah.
And you'll also find studies about that. And that can be related to that teacher you saw in the mosque, that maybe the boy made one or two mistakes, he gets a slap, you know, doesn't even you know, allow the chance to repeat it three times, for example. Or many of us, many people who are involved in education, they become impatient when the child didn't understand it over after the first or second explanation, where the Prophet ﷺ's general rule was to explain it three times. So this is also a lesson to us that this, you know, not everyone's the same. There'll be some children or some adults who will understand that principle the first time, and there'll be some that won't. And that's why you mentioned, you know, like, even if you listen to some of the scholars or students' knowledge lectures, you'll find that they indirectly will repeat. So they'll give the principle, and they'll say, okay, Ikhwan, did you understand this? And they'll give the principle, and then towards the end they'll say, so as we discussed, and they'll mention it again for the third time.
That's right.
And you don't even realize it, but if you look at most of these lectures, especially of the ones who are really founded in Islamic knowledge, the scholars or the strong students of knowledge, you will see they do this without even realizing.
That's right.
Go and listen to a lot of those lectures and you'll see, especially in Arabic.
Yes.
He did that three times.
MashaAllah. So, I mean, if you see right now, we spend the bulk of the time speaking about very basic things, you know, about kindness, character. Again, these are the first thing that a teacher should exemplify. This is when you walk into the environment, be it a classroom, whatever it is. You know, that rapport with the student, where the student now is open and he's becoming a sponge and he's ready to absorb. And when you miss any of these, when you're too harsh, you don't have the proper appearance, you don't have the kindness, you don't have the love, the desire, they feel it and they close, you know. They close and that will not go through. You educate, whatever you're trying to impart to them, whatever you try to give them, it's not gonna go in. So you might have a lot of good knowledge, but people shut down when they see you, when there's, you know, you don't have a rapport, there's no proximity, there's no kindness, they don't feel that this person is teaching from their heart. And that's the amazing thing. The Prophet ﷺ, even the non-Muslims who didn't believe in him, they had a hard time resisting him. His character, his charisma, you know, everyone would, you know, gravitate around him. People wanted to be around him. People wanted to discuss with him and so on. We know what happened. Yes, we know that people had animosity towards him because of his message. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, it's not you that they're rejecting. It is Allah, yani. They're rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his message. It's not that they have a problem with the Prophet Muhammad, with Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They have a problem with Rasulullah because he's claiming to be the Prophet and he's bringing the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very important to understand this, you know, that a teacher has to have that. Then we can move on now to, well, how are you going to teach? What are the ways? How are you going to impart this knowledge? What are what's the pedagogy that you're going to use, and so on? And the Prophet, of course, he was an expert in this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that. But again, he had the prerequisites for being a teacher, and people were listening to him. People were ready to listen to him. When he would open his mouth, you would know his humbleness. Again, something that maybe we forgot to mention, you know. And someone's, you know, today, of course, people talk about the soul, you know, the whole alpha male, you know, dominant, you know, character and so on, be cocky and so on, you know. But the reality is that the Prophet ﷺ had that, this whole strong character was in its right place in war or when dealing with, you know, issues, right? But not in, you know, your regular interaction with the human being. And that's the beautiful thing about a person who understands life, who's able to mold according to each different situation. The Prophet was an expert in that. You know, this is a real human being. Not all the time, like, you know, you go here, you go here, you're always harsh. No. In this situation, you're like this. In the other situation, you're different. In this situation, you're different. And you're able to switch between those situations right away and to adapt. And you understand who you're speaking to. Here you're speaking to a certain person at this level. Here you're speaking to a certain person at this level. And you adapt to this and this, you're not going to speak the same. And we know the Prophet never spoke the same. Sometimes he gave a different answer for the same question because he understood this person is here, this person is here. This person is coming from this background, this person is coming from this background. And this is why the Prophet gained the hearts of the people. This is why the Prophet, you know, when people were harsh to them, he was kind to them. And we know the the famous scenario of the Bedouin who came to the masjid and urinated in the masjid, you know? And we see the normal reaction of most of the people, like you and I, would be like, you know, going, you know, what is he doing? And, you know, about to push him or something. And that's what some of the Sahabas were going to do. And is anyone even close to being like the Sahabas? No. But look at the Prophet ﷺ. Let them finish. Kind. Speak to him, you know. And look at the result. What did the Bedouin man say? He made dua. He says, may Allah forgive me and Muhammad only, you know. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you made something very vast, you know, very restricted, right? But look, the man understood that this is a real person. I'm going to make dua for him. And that's what happened with a student too. When the teacher earns the heart of the student, not by slapping him, not by putting fear and instilling fear and so on, but by instilling love and inspiring them, compassion, mercy, proper traits and character, then amazing, because that student will always remember you. And I'm sure all of us have at least one teacher in our life that we all remember, that they inspired us, that they were just different, that they were just, there's something that caught and, you know, and gained our love and our heart to this person, and we will always remember them, and we always praise them, and we make dua for them and whatnot.
Well, jazakallah khair for sharing that with us. And like you said, a lot of these changes, they're very, in theory, they're very easy changes, just slight adaptations to our character or the way that we deal with people or we teach, whether you're in education or whether you're not in education, just how you deal with people on a daily basis. We can learn from these points we discussed today. So jazakallah khair for coming on. And also to the viewers, like I mentioned, we had some really beneficial points, inshallah, we can take away with us, whether you're in education or you're not in education, just for our daily lives in dealing with people, passing on the message of Islam even. So inshallah, until next week, same time, same place, inshallah, here on Live by Islam. I leave you with the greetings of Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. I can't explain the world we in. I look around and see all things beautiful. No mistakes, he won't let us down. He's the one that can create all from nothing to something. So let us pray and let us thank him for each day. La ilaha.
Live by Islam.
La ilaha.